really, if I'm what I'm going to talk about. But we talked about surrendering to victory. And I'm dead set in my personal life and ministry and everything else to surrender to victory. What is victory? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. How do I get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I take the Word of God. I find out, you know, in all these years, you know, I didn't have land and had never seen that cattle in Deuteronomy. It never meant nothing to me. But after I got that land over and I started thinking, man, I'll get some cows, you know. I'm reading Deuteronomy 28 and there's cows in there. And I thought, there's my cows. I thought, all these years, I've never noticed cows in that. That's what I'm talking about, the Word. That's how important the Word is in our life. At 30 years old, God may have been speaking to some things to you. At 55 years old, you can read the same scriptures and quicken something in there that you never saw. Why? Because the Word comes alive by the Spirit of God in the timing that God knows the Word is good in its season, in its time to bring things, you know, to our attention. And then we get knowledge, and then we meditate on, and then it goes down into our spirit, and I am dead set in my life and church and everything else that I am only going to surrender to victory. Only. I don't believe in losing. I can't find it in the Bible. I can't find it when they went in the lion's den. I can't find it when they went in the fiery furnace. I can't find it when they went in the Red Sea. I can't find it. None of them drowned it in the rivers. They dried up. Then you come on down to Jesus. You know, Jesus, the whole Old Testament really is pointing to the coming of Jesus, to redemption, the Redeemer. I mean, the whole thing, even the serpents on the cross, they looked upon the serpents and looked upon the cross. I mean, all of that was pointing to redemption in Jesus. Well, he done come. And Galatians 3:13 says, Christ, hallelujah, Jesus redeemed me from the curse. He redeemed me from defeat. He redeemed me from surrender to anything other than victory. Now, have I did it all my... No. Every time I lost, I surrendered to something else. I surrendered to fear. I surrendered to you know, not being diligent. The hand of the diligent will bear rue. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when all of y'all folk that are sitting at home serving Jesus, watching T.D. Jake and him or whoever you got, and you're not plugged into where, and you go, and y'all young folk, you get your little job and you want to drift off away from God. You know, you ain't got time for God anymore. You used to have time. See, your church raised you up to show you how to serve a God that will get into your future because you've only been here a couple of years at 18. You don't know nothing about life. You have learned God's ways by hearing and watching and maybe serving somewhat. But don't get up there with that pride stuff like Teresa was talking about this morning and get your job going on and get your car going on and get your little girlfriend going on and then just drop God, because that is not, you are surrendering to defeat. You are on purpose surrendering to destruction. You are surrendering to darkness. And all of y'all people sitting out there at home, one day there may not be no television that you can get yourself pumped up with Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar and all of them. They may come a day when you would have wished you would have went and got fed and watered and plugged in and built yourself a strong foundation for the times to come. I hope that don't happen to you. But you know what? You're sitting home today and you're not plugged in your local church. You are not giving to them. You're not tithing. You're not giving an offering. You're not helping fix the buildings. You're not helping mow the yards. You're not helping anything. And you know what? But you want to glean. You want them to pray for you. You want the church to pray for you. You want them to marry you when you want to get married. I've had them to call me, you know, could you marry us? And I'd say, well, let your pastor do it. We don't have a church. And I said, that's your fault. No, I'm not doing it. I'm marrying only people in here. Long as you ain't a man and a man and a woman, not marrying you. But see, we got to trust in the Lord. You remember you remember the rich young? Give me that Mark 10, Ben. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, talking about Jesus, and asked him, said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Go ahead. And he answered and said to him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Been in church, I've heard it all. You know, I already know all that, Lord, from a youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, what? Loved him. When God brings something to us to correct us or make sure that we're going in the right way, it's because he loves us. He loved this rich young ruler. He said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was what? Sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had money, possessions, things. See, Jesus was not asking this guy to take a vow of poverty. You know why I know that? Because, well, we'll go on here and we'll read some more scriptures here in just a minute, what he told Peter. But this guy, and you know what? Sunday morning offering time, some of y'all stay sad because you can't tithe. When Jesus is saying, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is taught when he's trying to get people to give, he's trying to get that money not to have me anymore. So that money don't have me anymore. See, the Bible says that I can't serve two masters. I can't serve two masters. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all got it all down probably. But I keep that at bay. I keep that at bay. Because I'm going to have treasures in heaven. I'm building up a strong foundation for me, and it is not money. I got money. Money's let me down all my life. My job has let me down all of my life. The government's let me down most of my life. And that's why the Lord back yonder 30 years ago kept telling me, don't put your trust in nothing but me. Don't put your trust, you know, I mean, just like, you know, people, you hear out there, you'd hear Christians and non-Christians, you know, boy, when I get old enough to draw my Social Security, I'll have it made. I don't have to go to work and blah, blah, blah. And I made up my mind years ago, been preaching it for years here, I'm not going to live off of Social Security alone. Social Security is not my God. It is not my Savior. It is not my deliverer. It is not my future. The only future that I've got is Social Security. See, he had his trust. He said, come and follow me. And he went away sad, saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Many do it today. They can't come to church because they bought them a pontoon boat. God gave them a pontoon boat. God gave it to them. And now Sunday is the only time that they can go to the lake. That's this guy right here. That's the only time. I told Satan tried to get me to go to the river one time, and I told him, I said, I'll take off in during the week, Satan. I'm not taking God's day for pleasure. Because God's day is why I got pleasure. You know. But God blesses people with his people all through the Bible. When they start getting a hold of things and he begins to bless them, I told them just yesterday, I said, when God prospers y'all, I don't have to wonder if he's going to. These guys are after God. He's going to teach them how to prosper. He's going to teach them his ways. I said, when God does prosper you, don't forget him. Don't leave him. Don't neglect him. Do the things that you're doing now. Because he told Saul, he said, when you were little, when you needed me, when you leaned on me, when you trusted in me, then was Saul big. Because he had to trust the Lord. He wanted to trust the Lord. And I've seen it. Many, many come and, I mean, I've got money. I don't even have to go to work if I don't want to. But you know what? I feel the same as I did back down yonder when I didn't have it other than I wanted it. I wanted God to give it to me. Now God's give it to me and I'm like, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. It works. Well, I'm still in church. I ain't on the lake on a pontoon or in a camper trailer. I'm not going on vacation. When I go on vacation, I try to work the church in. I'm not looking for a reason to abandon the will of God for me. I'm going to work the will of God around what I want to do. I'm going to do it. Why? Because that is trusting in him. That is keeping my trust in him. Well, he goes on, get going, Beth. And Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It didn't say heaven. The kingdom. He said to them, children, how hard it is for them that what? Trust. Trust. Somebody say trust. In riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He said, it's going to be hard for those that trust in their money to enter my kingdom. It's going to be hard for them that trust in men to enter my kingdom. It's going to be hard for them that trust in doctors rather than me to enter into healing. It's going to be hard for them. And how we do that is we take the Word of God and we renew our mind to the Word of God. He wasn't asking this guy. Now he's fixing to teach them, praise God, you know, how to, because they got money. How hard it is for them that trust in riches. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Go on, Beth. And they were astonished out of measure. Why? Why was they? They had money. They had just laid down their businesses. I don't know how long they'd been in, but they had money. These disciples had money. So they were astonished. They're like, oh my God, I can't enter in here. And then Jesus is fixing to help them out here. He said, astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. Go ahead, Ben. And Jesus answered and said, verily, surely, for real I tell you today, he's saying, there is no man that has left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold. That rich young ruler could have had the 100-fold. Jesus wasn't telling him to take, I guarantee you he would have become a giver. The rich young ruler had his trust in his house for security, in his money. I've got savings. I mean, I'm not going to put my trust in my savings for my security. God said, I will have no other gods before me. See, if my savings is my security for my future, then I've got my trust in something other than God to take care of me. And now I can't enter into this kingdom stuff because I've got my faith somewhere other than in God. Can you see it? God wasn't asking him to take a bow to poverty. He was trying to get his security off of his money. I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, if something happens to me before Teresa, which I'm believing it won't, we go together. Lord, help her never to have to put her trust in nobody but you. Help her, Lord, to keep her confidence always in you. Because I know if she does, God, you're going to answer my prayer that you would take care and keep her all of her life. And you going to honor that for me, even if I'm gone. Because I put my trust in him to keep her and take care of her whole life, with or without me. See, my trust ain't in how much I can leave her. My trust is in God. Despite what I leave, what I have here, that she will be fully furnished in every area of her life. That's what we've got to do. We all must do it. Somebody said, where you been? Are you going to be buried over by Daddy? And I said, Daddy ain't around here. Now, if he's in heaven, I'm going to be with him by the time I hit the dirt. Whoo! It don't make no difference where I'm at. I said, no, I'm not going to be buried over there, Dad. Now, where are you going to be buried? I said, over close to where I live. That's tradition is what you're doing. Tradition says, I got to be buried over there where all my kinfolk's buried. But see, what happened is I got redeemed from tradition. And I realized to have a revelation, some of God's people ain't got a revelation yet that I ain't going to be there. When I walk into a funeral home, and I do, I walk in there where they're combing the hair and stuff, dealing with business and broke sprains. I write them tickets in there while they're doing the makeup and all that. Travis, he don't go to funeral homes with me. I tell him, he's like, hey, let them get that coffin out of there. Most time they got coffins right there where they load them, you know, and all that stuff. Well, you got to fix them doors, you know. He turns white. He looks like Beth when we go over there. he loses all countenance. But you know what I realize? Them people ain't even there. They're not even there. They're not in there. They got that hair fixed. Did you know they cut off the back of the clothes and just wrap them around? I mean, they're not fully dressed. They're half naked. Most people didn't even know that. You're going to think about that when you go to the good. Lord, I wonder if they got the rest of this. Don't be go doing that. I'm going to go check it out, Monty. The blue jeans are gone in the back. I know more than what you think I know. I've been to a lot of funerals, man. I've been in a lot of funeral homes, you know. But why I'm saying all of that, see, we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And we're being born again, not of corruptible seed, of something that can't be corrupted, something that can't be destroyed. I mean, it's in us, and I mean, it's working. It's working. His word is working in us. It's working in us. It's creating an image of Jesus in us. You might not see a picture, but you're going to see yourself like He is. We're going to mess up funeral homes. We're going to be going to somebody's funeral, and God's going to say, I know they're in bond, but lay hands on them. Jerk them out of there. And we're going to go like, oh, God, we know it's You, God, we know. And then we're going to go get hold of them, drag them out. And then they're going to stand up. Well, can these bones live? But you know what? You can sit at home. You can sit and not get plugged in at church. And there's coming a day when you're going to sit on the sidelines and you're going to watch God's people do signs, wonders, and miracles. Those that do know their God will do exploits in His name. We're in the name of Jesus. You're going to look at us, some of us, you already say, well, it looked like they were defeated, but I'm telling you, they came out every time they come out. Why? Because we do know our God. We don't just know of Him as church on Sunday morning. We don't just know of Him when we're going through a little trouble that we try to turn on Joel Osteen and get comforted. We done learned to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We done learned, praise God, I mean, when things break like Doris, Satan, you ain't coming to get this word. You ain't going to get it out of me. I've done had 15 sermons of the meat of the Word of God, and you sure ain't going to get me to go back to drinking milk. You need healed? Come on to Faithway. We got a miracle-working God over here. You need your life turned around? Come on to Faithway. Well, we're in another state. Well, plug in with us. Find you a church over there and then, download us. Download some sermons. Get plugged in. Then if you start getting fed, go ahead and cut us a good little fat check, whatever God tells you, black God. And then that same anointing that's on this ministry right here will come on over and start blessing your socks off. Well, God knows I can't afford it. You've been saying that for 48 years. You still ain't starved to death. Listen. Insane people do the same thing every day expecting different results. I can sit on the couch, oh, by faith my lawnmower's going to crank and that yard's going to get mowed. It's going to get mowed. Go look out the window, it's still growed up. Oh, in the name of Jesus, pray in tongues then. Pray in tongues, that lawnmower's going to crank. You go out there and look, and you got wild onions all over the yard, still standing. Teresa decided there ain't nothing going to get in her way of this watering thing. Now, she's getting her Bible. She's got a routine, and she's doing it every day. And I come in, and I'm like, man, I can't even see where the swimming pool is. So I'm sitting out there on the porch, and I said, hey, man, there's a lot of green onions up around out here, ain't there? Then she's still singing the old song. I shall not be. She ain't got time for you, devil. I started to tell her, I'm not the devil. So I thought, well, God, maybe I just need to leave her alone. Come on in, jump on that lawnmower and help her mow it. Well, I come in, there she is mowing it. Got her mowed. Well, she wasn't going to let that get in her way right now. She's busy doing something. That yard's not as important as what she's doing. It's important. And then when she felt a release or whatever she's feeling that she ain't going to be moved by none of this, then it's time. Now it's time to go mow because it ain't going to make no difference if it's an inch or four. Still cuts the same. Once you whack it, it's whacked. Right? See, some of us ain't going to be distracting. Some of y'all folk out there in living room land, we call it living, what they call that now? That the iChurch. They're telling me, where you go to church? I got iChurch. Your church? Oh, I see. Call it your church. Don't call it our church. Call it your church. You know, even if the minister, I'm not telling people, you don't have to go to church nowhere. Just get on and hook up with our church here. That's dumb. That's dumb for any ministry to do that. Every ministry needs to stick with the Bible. Forsake not, preacher, the assembling of ourselves together. Then, if you need to go out and visit them home-ridden, raise up an army like this, I'm not going, y'all are. Well, don't forsake the word, ministries. Encourage the people on TV and radio to go get plugged into their church where God wants them. Even if it is 45 minutes to drive, God will supernaturally give you the means to drive it. What's wrong? Is God not big enough to get you money? Is He not big enough to rain manna out of heaven anymore? Can He not bring water out of a rock anymore? Can He not do signs, wonders? Can He not roll back the Red Sea? Are we in a modern generation where our God has got weaker over the years? The Bible says that He is not slack concerning what He said in His Bible that He will do for those that will follow Him. He told Peter, and I stood on this and didn't lose nothing through 2007-8. And people told me, well, I lost. No, you didn't. Not Christians. You surrendered. You quit fighting. You got tired of fighting. You got in your own understanding. You begin to lean to it, and you begin to yield to it. That is surrender. That is yielding and surrendering to defeat. Yielding to the Lord and leaning not to our own understanding and saying we are not going to lose. He said 100-fold now, and this time houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions and eternal life. I'm getting both of them. You're getting both of them. So don't sit back and look, I would have to quit preaching this. I know you like to watch me. But I get on your ever-loving nerve, ever service. And you wish that I wouldn't say this so that you wouldn't be bothered. You were getting some good stuff up till then. That's just a touch of what you're going to get when you plug in where God wants you. And get off of your church, and get in His church, and get plugged in, and do some sacrificing for Him. He needs you on the streets. He needs you knocking on doors to build your church. He needs your finances there. He needs you to back His kingdom there. The churches are not their own vision that is following the Lord. They are following the Lord, and they have faith with or without you that they're going to do the will of God, and God, with or without me or you, will bring the provision. But I want to be a part of the plan of God. I'm seeing miracles in this place. I'm seeing Him do miracles in my business. I'm seeing Him do miracles, working things out. I was fixing to go buy me, I went and I had to go get something welded because none of my welders were like they need to, Johnny. And so I'm like, bless God, I'm a rich man. Just go buy them one, don't they, Lord? He's like, yeah. Rich people have what they want. That follow. I'm not talking somebody ain't following. I'm following. I don't know about you. You can go steal money. That ain't the blessing. You can go work 1,800 jobs and get it and call it Lord if you want to. That's not the blessing. The blessing is an empowerment. The blessing rebukes the devourer. The blessing gives you wisdom that you don't have without Him. Their wisdom. So yesterday, I'm thinking, okay, so this one on there, I said, would you take $2,000 for it? He said, yeah, I'll take $2,000. I said, okay. I said, just give me an address, and I'm coming to get it. And I done inquired of the Lord, and I felt like the Lord, do whatever, He just whatever you want to do, you know. And so I said, okay. He said, well, it'll be in the a.m. I said, well, that's fine. Just give me an address, whatever time's good for you. The dude never did get in touch with me. I'm thinking, man, what's going on here? You know, I was excited. I was going to be down there and get the welder and come on back. You know? Well, I went and worked on my tractor. I'm having to work on one of my tractors, blah, blah, blah. Got back to the house, rested a little while. And I'm going across to look at my garden, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, go take the fuel pump off of the old one and put on the other one. And I thought, nah, man, it can't be the Lord. That's a brand new fuel pump. I ordered it off Amazon. I done did all that. I put new filters, new lines, new brand new pump, everything. I put it all on. I took the carburetor off. I never could get that thing to run right. It would run and sputter and spit and wouldn't rev up. And so I thought, lean not to your own understanding. See, the Bible says for y'all guys sitting in your house, you don't understand why God wants you to go to church, get you Proverbs 3:5-8. And get it in you till you understand that you don't lean to your feelings on Sunday morning. You don't lean to your feelings on Sunday night or on Friday or on Tuesday whenever you got ministry going on. You don't lean till you ain't got gas money. You don't lean till nobody cares for you over there. You didn't like the laughing service last Sunday. I don't like them either. Who says I have to like what God does? You just get in there with him. Before you know it, you'll be laughing with him. So, Johnny, I thought, oh, man, I'm going to go do that. I'll fool with that all I want to, you know. And I thought, man, do what the Lord says. Don't lean to your own understanding. So I just buzzed across there, pulled up there. And all the time I'm thinking, this ain't going to work. This is just not going to work, you know. And I thought, I don't care. Don't let them thoughts out. See, take no thought saying. Don't say nothing. Don't say what you're thinking. If you feel defeated, don't say it. If you feel like you can't do something, don't say it. Don't give voice to what you're thinking. Unless it's in line with the Word. Well, I changed that out, Johnny. Put that on there, you know, and I put some gas in a jug, stuck that thing over in there. And I lifted it loose from the carburetor. It started pumping gas. And I'm like, wow, man. I put it on there. And I mean, just a few seconds, that thing went. I'm like, woo! Jesus! This is a Ranger 8 that I was fixing to go give $2,000 for that one. A lot of them was 35 and 38. And I'm like, woo! And I'm like, glory to God, man. So I go over and take my welding leads. I thought, I'm just going to let it run. Just let it run. I just let it sit there and run. I went and took my welding leads, got me a big piece of steel over there. I turned it up to 175. I can burn stuff into it 175. So I turned her up to 175, you know, and I said, I'm going to see if she's going to weld. And but God, I got that, I'm like, glory to God, stood up, and I said, glory to God, Lord, it's working. How come it ain't been working? He said, you ain't been obeying me with it. He said, you just do what I tell you to do, and I make the impossible possible. Saved me $2,000. I'm like, that guy couldn't show up. He just couldn't. He got too drunk last night or something. Something happened. He didn't get up in time. He just, you know, and I'm the kind of guy, you either get me earlier, I don't care what it is, I'm not coming late. I'm just not like that. Let's go, God changes me. I'm like, let's get this thing early. Let's go to work early, get in early. You know, praise the Lord. So see, all of these things don't happen for everybody. Favor and favors on our lives. Favor when we're trusting in the Lord. It's real simple. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That's a big saying right there. I mean, that's a big saying when the finances ain't going good. That's a big saying when your kids are acting up. That's a big saying when you're back into a sign, you know, messed up a $40,000 car right quick. I mean, that's, you know, and then on top of that, you know, somebody stole the flowers off the grave or blew them away or something. See, But he'll work miracles to those that says, that's not going to happen to me. I remember when I pulled up and I was working on my track hole and I bought me a one ton and it was orange, you know, it was just orange one ton, Chevy one ton. And I pulled up and I thought, don't park there. And I thought, nah, man, I was going to pump fuel out of a fuel tank into the track hole, you know. And so I pulled up there, you know, and I'm like, I pumped it in there, and then I thought, I better go move. And I thought, nah, I ain't going to turn or nothing. And so I get on that track, go, wah, and I start out, man, and I look, and there's a stump there, a little bit of stump that I missed. And I thought, hey, man, get that on your way. And I went, whoosh, and I was like, what was that? It didn't move the track hole, the big old 55,000-pound. And I was like, that sounded like that. I thought, oh, my God, my truck's back there. So I swang around there, and I'm like, whoa. I caved the whole door in with it. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I thought, what's the use? Every time I go to dig a stump up, something breaks or something. Man, I'm going to have a good day. Now, and then I started to say, you devil. And I thought, the devil had nothing to do with that. That devil didn't do nothing there. And then, so I thought, okay, you work all things together for the good. See, when you're really following the Lord, these people out here sitting at home, I'm telling you, they can't be sustained doing what I'm saying. They last till Joel Osteen goes off. Get them goosebumps. Then they get the phone call. Then they're right back in that unbelief again. Why? Faith comes by hearing, watering, coming to the house of God, hearing the Word of God, fasting and praying on your own and reading the Word, doing what your church is ministering to you to do, being a doer of the Word. Then you have a continual flow of the Holy Spirit working in your life. But now you know what? You can get in that doubt and unbelief. Look, I wrote this down. Unbelief grieves and is sad, unhappy, complains, and is never satisfied. So if that's you, you are in stark raving unbelief. And if you ever start grieving, sad, disgrievous all the time. Sad, you start being unhappy, you start complaining, you're not satisfied. Know that unbelief is sitting at your door, trying to get you to yield to it and develop it. Some people develop it. But now faith is glad. Faith, on the other hand, is glad. Faith is peaceful. You feel peaceful. When you're in faith, you're glad. I'm glad I serve the Lord today. I feel good about that. I feel really good about it. I mean, open heart surgery tried to kill me. Couldn't. Stopped up arteries. Couldn't. Veins out of my legs and things. Couldn't. I done whipped now. What do you call it? That broke out on me? Yeah. Yeah, I done whipped it. I done whipped it. I thought, well, here's a new one right here. I've heard shingles on TV. I might as well get on it with faith and drive it out. You can drive poverty away from you. You can drive sickness and disease out of your body. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And then whenever I do have any kind of doctor stuff done, I don't put my trust in it. I simply right then start releasing my faith for a full, speedy recovery in Jesus' name. Because I've had the statistic, I had that on my knee, and I'm telling you, that's the worst thing. I hear it. And so I ask him, well, do you believe God? Well, and I mean, God's all God and do anything he wants to anytime he will. No, he can't. He needed you to believe him. He needed you to get that anointing on that. He needed you to get the grace involved. He needed you to get the power of God's word working. Hallelujah. You know. But the reason why, then I asked him, well, did you go through therapy? No, the drill sergeant over there, about breaking my leg off trying to do that. Hurt. They know it hurts. Maybe them doctors had the wisdom from God. Stretch it, baby, stretch it. You know? See, we have to comply with the Lord even in the natural realm. Whatever He says do, just do it. I lay my hands on every vehicle I buy. Travis called me the other day, and I didn't know it, but anyway, bought that other truck, and it wouldn't run but 50 miles an hour. Travis, I'm sending the guy to Birmingham, and I'm going somewhere. I don't know, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to be moved today. And he said, well, I reckon I ought to send him. I said, yeah, I'll put some gas in it and send him on. Got off the phone, and I spoke to it, and I said, I told you that you're going to be a blessing to me and not a curse. I told you, and I command you right now to obey what I tell you. In the truck the next day, and I said, Keith, I said, did that truck run okay? Oh, yeah, how did we put gas in it? It just run just fine. Now, it appears that when it gets down to a quarter of a tank, it's not picking up gas. I don't care what it appears. I'm going to speak to it, sucking gas or not. You do the same. Your body, your ministry, praise God. See, these things are trusting in the Lord. When we're trusting in the Lord, we can't help but to want to do these things. Because that's what He wants. He needs vessels in this earth to be proclaiming and taking authority and setting forth motion into motion His will. Kind of like the Lord told me whenever I was going to do this church, you know, and I had to have it rezoned because it had been illegal. It was residential and has to be commercial property or whatever in the city limits. So anyways, when I went to do it, y'all know the story. I mean, every one of those letters come back, no, negative. We don't want that church close to us. We don't want that. It's going to create problems. It's going to create people in and out. It does. I have more trouble out of the neighbors keeping them off this property than I do us on theirs. but you know what? I thought, that devil, man, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, I thought, no, I don't get devil-minded. They might be yielding to the devil. They might be yielding to whatever, but we don't wrestle against that. We against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness. So I just knuckled down, bless God. I cast it over on. I said, here I am, Lord. Lord, you want it to happen, bless God. I'm the man to believe you. You said do it, Lord. Now I just take you with your word, praise God. I cast it over on you, and I'm not going to get into the details. You're going to work this thing out however you work it out. See, your faith in God gives Him the ability and the release to work the details for your individual situation. And you know what? Here we are. You can't stop us. There ain't no principality. The only way that we can be stopped is getting in the wrong spirit. We're not the first ones here. The Lord sent me down to a big church running 600 or 700 people right here in Bluntsville. On a Tuesday, I'm cutting the muffler off of my truck. And I wanted it loud, Johnny. So I'm out there with Sawzall. And the Lord told me, He said, I want you to go. And He named the church. He said, I want you to go preach tonight. I thought, preach? I don't even know them people. So I go to Teresa and I said, give me some clothes out. She said, where are you going? I said, God told me to go down there to that church down there. And I'm going to preach tonight. She said, you call Him? And I said, no, man, I ain't talked to nobody. But Jesus showed up under my truck. And He told me. And so I go down there, praise God, and get ready. And I go down there, and he give me Isaiah 54:14-17. That's all I had. And I thought, man, this can't be God. I mean, about 400 or 500 people in there. You know, and I thought, this is God. I know it is. And so I thought, okay, what I'm going to do, man, I'm sitting on the back. I'm not telling nobody nothing. I'm not telling them who I am. I'm sitting on the back pew. And so I went in, real quiet, man, slid myself over there. And I mean, I sat on the very back there by myself, you know. I'm trying to hide. Because I'm like, God's going to work a miracle. I'm going to see a miracle, man. See, that's your expectation ought to be whatever you've asked God for, you're in His will, you expect Him to show up and move in your situation, no matter what it is. It ain't got to be a church service. And so, a few minutes, here comes the deacon around there. Hey, first time. Nah, yeah, man. He said, come on, move around. I said, no, I'm good. I just soon sat back here, man. Nah, man, come on. I said, nah, man, I'm good. I'd just rather sat back here, you know. We like for the guests to sit on up front, you know. And I says, well, okay then. So I go down there. Pastor comes out. When he does come out, the praise worship team going on, and he wasn't out like I am. He come out, you know, later. And so he comes out. He comes out there and he starts talking, blah, 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 and says a few things like that and walked down there. And his eyes caught me over there. And he said, hey, you come preach. I like to fell out, man. I mean, I just like to fell out. I'm thinking, good Lord, look at all these people up in here, man. Now, you give me Isaiah 54, in righteousness shall thou be established. You'll be far from, you know, that, you know, man. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I got up, man, I got started. Praise God. In right standing. But see, God sent me there that night to tell them to change, that you are going down. I didn't know it. They had went, and I heard a testimony of a little girl, a young teenager. She had had a wreck, and she said that she didn't get hurt or anything because she was a tither. The angels, because she was a tither. And I'm like, no. The angels are there, whether I'm tithing or not, man. No, man. See, they got in error. They was getting in error over finances. Debt-free was their thing in 2003. Debt-free in 2003. And ain't nothing wrong with believing God to be debt-free. But see, it was all about money. It was all about money. All about money. Money's why you got favor. Money's why you got protection. That's not so. That's error. And so, then we're this guy calls me up. This might have been before. This was after. Me and Teresa, I don't work on Saturday. I'm going to close with this. See, trusting in the Lord, he can speak to you. He can lead you. He can use you, and it'll help people. And it'll actually bless you. Well, this guy, I said, well, look, man. I said, I'll bring you a brochure. No, man, the only time I got is Saturday morning at around 10 o'clock, man. I mean, I have to work. And I said, well, I have to work too, man, and I'm off on Saturday, you know. And blah, 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 and he just kept on. Oh, 10 o'clock, you know. I mean, just run this thing down. And so I tell Teresa, I said, well, you just go with me. You and Travis go with me. I said, we'll run to Garden City over there, and we'll give him, you know, brochure, and then we'll be gone. You know, we'll go do what we want to. We'll go, you know. So they went with me, and he never did show up. The guy never showed up. I never heard another thing out of this guy ever. And I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of mad, you know. And I'm like, man, you know. So I said, well, forget him. Just forget him. So we go back, and the Lord spoke to me and Teresa, I think this same day, ain't it, to go pull into that church over there. You don't remember? But anyhow, we went by, and the Lord said, pull in. That pastor was standing outside in the parking lot of that church. I thought, oh, my God. Lord, don't mean to turn in there, man. I'm pastor. And the Lord said, I want you to pray for it. But you know what? He wouldn't accept that prayer. I mean, he did, but he felt like, who are you? Who are you? You're just the pastor of that Faithway Christian Center down there. He found out who it was that night, you know. You're that little church down there. No, he didn't know how big we are. We're still standing. Yeah. We're what? On account of him. So don't you ever back down from that. Surrender. Surrender to victory only. Have a mindset to surrender to victory. Your body, your finances, your kids, your grandkids. I mean, that devil ain't gonna never take nothing of mine. Never, praise God. And you shouldn't let him either. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.